Okay, good to be here this morning. I can see that quite a few of us tripling around like five-year-olds excited about Christmas morning. Is everyone like, holiday. It does something to you, doesn't it? That expectation of having a few days off. It is so exciting. So I'm going to help you this morning to have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, to find rest for your soul. That's what I want to speak on, this part three of the series, Entering God's Rest. But to start off with, I want to lead you into freedom. So we're going to pray. Father, we forgive Eskom and Jacob Zuma and everybody else that bugged us this year. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, don't you feel better? Awesome. It's amazing how we allow others to steal our joy. So I want to help us this morning to be free from that. Okay, so I want to share a little bit about peace, finding peace, what peace is about. Mankind's greatest need is peace. We put it all in different words, like we but if we want to break it down to at the core, every human being on the face of this earth is looking for peace. That's what we're after. That's what we're doing. We're eating to find peace for our stomach that's growling. You know, we do things because we want to find peace and joy and rest for our souls. We wouldn't say it like that, but that's true. We're looking for peace. And there are few things as amazing, as fulfilling as having peace in your heart. And so we're looking in all the wrong places, especially during holidays. We have all our ideas of what's going to bring joy and peace to us, like food. So how much steak can one eat? How much steak can one eat? I always think before the time, even last night, we had two functions, last night and the previous night. And you like so get excited about the food and all the potential. And then I just realize my stomach is too small. I can't enjoy the fullness of it. But food, I mean, I remember I was went to Angola in early 2000s. I was alone in Angola for 10 days to prepare for our missions team to come. So for 10 days, I didn't speak the language, but I was hosted by a very wealthy businessman. So I was eating in restaurants and morning, lunch, and night. Very, very nice food. It was terrible because I was alone. Good food alone isn't good. It's the company. It's having great fellowship. It's having great people that you can enjoy it with. That's what makes food so great. It's the intangible of fellowship, of having wonderful people with you, that's really good. Or what about your car? You know, pursuing a nice car. You have this dream car. You buy the dream car. It's everything you've ever wanted. Is it going to bring that fulfillment? Not really. If you're driving in your car and the kids start screaming and you and your wife's fighting, it's not so fulfilling. It's like the tangible thing is not bringing the fulfillment. It's the intangible. It's the intangible things of life that brings true rest to your soul. Okay, so shopping. You're going shopping. You're buying clothes. You're so excited about your new outfit. You go home. Your husband says, oh, makes you look fat. It's a spoiler. It's over. It's also quite stupid. But having your dream holiday, going somewhere, having the expectation of the environment, everything, you have all these great expectations, and then for 3 days, you and your wife not speaking. That's terrible. It's no fun. You see, it's the intangibles of life that brings value to our lives. It's the intangibles that brings value to our lives. And it's important to understand that. I mean, I remember a while ago, previous December or the previous one, you know, you think holidays, they're a great time. Everyone's having a good time. But I remember getting an SMS from a friend saying, please pray for us. It's a nightmare. Our marriage is a nightmare. We're down and out. I have no more hope. You know, so it's just so easy to find yourself in that space. Anyone watch the Despicable Me? Now, we've been watching it a few times this last week with our boy. And there's this moment where Gru says, light bulb. Then he sees the things. Okay, so I'm trusting for a light bulb to come on this morning. You see, we're trying to find peace in the wrong places. We're pursuing things and we think that's gonna. I promise you, it's not gonna. It didn't last December. Or the previous one, or the previous one, or the previous one. Most Decembers, I remember, like, I have this nagging uneasiness in my... I haven't been spending time with Jesus. I've been distracted, busy with other stuff. Can't find peace. Can't find rest. Internal peace leads to external peace. You need to find rest in your soul. And then you will have rest on the outside as well. So peace is powerful. Peace is powerful. Peace is so powerful. Focus on the intangibles this December. Focus on the intangibles, not on the tangibles. Okay, so let's look at a few things. I'm going to take you to a few scriptures. We're going to look at how can you find peace and what steals your peace or your rest the quickest. Okay, so let's first look at who leads us to peace. Psalm 23. The Shepherd of Peace. Well-known passage. Let's read it together. I feel we must read it together just for fun. Okay, let's do this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay. The Lord is our shepherd. This is so beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd. It's all inclusive. I shall not lack anything. Everything you need is found in God. Provider, protection. He is the one. And it says that He leads us. He leads us. It speaks there of the beside the still waters. Literally, that means waters of rest. Waters of rest. Waters of, I mean, I remember before I became a Christian, that was the one thing I was seeking. I was seeking peace. I couldn't define it by, I couldn't find rest for my soul. And so I passionately pursued all the wrong things. But it says here, leads me. Leads me. Say leads me. Okay, so God leads us. When He leads us on a path where we find rest for our souls. Waters of rest. And in the Bible, waters always often speak of representing the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So when God leads us, He leads us to a place of rest. Let Him lead you. Let Him lead you. Let the light bulb go on. Let the light bulb go on. You shall not lack anything. You know, we often like sheep, and we're running around, and it says, He makes me to lie down. So sometimes God is saying to us, stop. Just stop it. Stop. Some of us can't sit still for a moment. You can't not have the TV on or the radio or something. You can't not have noise around you. So you actually can't just stop, be still, and enjoy His presence. It's beautiful. So sometimes He makes you to lie down. So some people believe this is what happens when you really, really, really don't want to stop. Then someone prays for you and the power of God hits you and you fall on the floor. That's God making you lie down, making you rest because you don't want to rest. So we must, he wants us. He wants us as a loving dad. He wants us to find rest for our souls. There is nothing like the peace that Jesus gives. There is nothing like the peace that Jesus gives. The place of fulfillment in yourself, like you can rest. You can rest. Look to Him. Okay, and then Isaiah 57. Now this is the key. Those who do not find rest for their souls. It says, Isaiah 57, verse 20 to 21, is the first those two verses, and we're going to read them just before. It says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Say, cannot rest. The wicked are like the troubled sea. It's like the sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says God, for the wicked. There is no peace for the wicked. Now, when we think about ourselves, none of us are going to say, well, I'm a wicked person. We all think we're good people. But there's a box. It's explaining those who find themselves outside of the will of God, they will have no peace. No peace. And so you have to ask yourself, what often happens is it's going well with you. You're in good space. You have joy. You have peace. You're following Jesus. You're thinking, man, it's going so well. Let's try something else. Let's try a few things. This happy holiday. Let's just dabble a little bit in this. Maybe try out this. Maybe another few shooters. And down the line, stuff it. I lost something. I lost my peace. It's a terrible feeling. Who's experienced that? Okay. Speaking to honest Christians here this morning. But it says the wicked, and that's the box, that outside of the will of God, he leads us in to peace. Outside of his will, there is no peace. I shared it with the guys earlier at Encounter 4. If you believe that there is any good thing outside of the will of God, you are deceived. And it means you're suffering from discontent, and it's going to lead you astray. Are you absolutely persuaded that outside of the will of God, there is no good thing? If you're not, you're going to find yourself going off track again and again and again. It's called discontent. First, the enemy distracts you. Then he brings discontent. And then you find yourself going somewhere where you're not supposed to go. And you lose peace. And it's a terrible feeling to lose your peace. Okay. So there's no peace to the wicked when we find our way. The quickest way for you to lose your peace is to disobey God. Okay, record, press record. Record, internal phone memory. The quickest way for you to lose your peace is to disobey God. Okay, now you must put an alarm system on the inside that when you come to that moment, replay. Hear my voice. Hear it saying, the quickest way to lose your peace is to disobey God. Okay, have you all recorded? Got it down? Come on. I've heard stories of people saying, and then I heard your voice speaking to me. So I'm praying for that. Okay, but let's go to a few verses before that. Isaiah 57, verses 18 to 21. And this speaks about a backslider. The context here is someone or Israel that has turned away from God, but now brought back to God. And the Lord says, as God speaking through the prophet, he says, I've seen his ways and I will heal him, because he's turning back. I will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked, says God, will know no peace. Okay. So the good news is this. God sees us. He sees where we are at on our journey. He sees where we've gone astray. He sees what we're battling with. He sees it all. He says, I see him. I see him. And I see her. I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever you've been through, whatever life has thrown at you, God sees. Doesn't matter how bad it's been. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It's irrelevant. God is saying, I see him. The moment we turn. Hello, Rulof. Like I'm here to sin. Sidetrack. Okay. But the Lord sees where we are at. And he calls us back to that place of, he says, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to give you peace. You cannot find peace outside of the will of God. You cannot find peace outside of the will of God. 2 weeks ago, Sonica shared about that verse that says, come to me, all you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. And then last week, I shared about we need to do battle. We need to do warfare sometimes to find peace. Joe, I had a few tests this week. A few tests for my peace. I had a very good, happy time. And then, yo, someone at the gym. My goodness. You know, some people have bad days. Other people have bad lives. They are like bitter. That's it. And the mission, without them knowing it, their mission in life is to make you bitter as well. So let me warn you, this next month, you're going to be tested. You're going to stand in a queue somewhere, and someone's going to get irritated with you, like has happened. It's like, whoa, you're having a bad day. Go away. So I want to warn you, some people are going to have a bad day over this next month, and they're going to try and steal your peace. So be aware. You're going to have some people while you're driving, they're going to give you grief. When you're standing in the queue, when you're watching your favorite program and Eskom load sheds on us, then what are you going to do? Are you going to allow it to steal your peace? Are you just going to, you're going to smile and wave? That's very powerful. Smile and wave. It's very biblical. Smile and wave. There is no peace for the wicked, those who step out of the will of God. But there's also no peace for those who get offended. There's no peace for those who get offended. Don't let someone else steal your peace. Let's say it. I easily forgive people when they're being stupid. Let's try that again. I easily forgive people, especially when they're being stupid. Okay. Also, record, replay later. So how do we take back our peace? This is one of the keys. It's basically two things. The love of God and doing good. Luke chapter 6, verses 35 to 36. Taking back our peace. It says, but love your enemies, even if they're family. Yeah, jylle kyk vir my asof dit nie so is nie, maar dit is so. Love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. It's an amazing passage that it's like, this is the setting the bar. This is in the history of the world, no religion, no one has ever said, love your enemies, even compared to the Old Testament. Jesus brought a completely new standard. He shifted everything. And he says, for he, God, is kind to the unthankful and evil. That's so amazing. We serve such an amazing God. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. You see, what happens is when other people are bitter and negative and angry, we so easily pick up their atmosphere. We make their atmosphere our atmosphere. You're being stupid, I'm going to be stupid to you too. No, don't do that. Be different, because God is different. You know, all of us in this house would have been dead if God wasn't kind to the unthankful and the evil. He loves people so much. And the key for us to stay in a place of peace is to represent Him, to allow His atmosphere on the inside, and to choose to love those who do not deserve it, to forgive those who are being silly, to be kind to the unthankful and evil, to be like Him. Don't take the atmosphere. Be the atmosphere. This is my challenge for you this next month. Be the atmosphere at home. Be the atmosphere in whichever party or social or what. Be different. And you know what the result will be? You're going to have peace. No one can steal your peace when you love them like that. If you get angry and upset, they have the power to steal your peace. If they're being ugly and evil to you, but you turn it around and you actually love them, then you've truly forgiven. You've truly let go. It is so powerful. It is liberating. The evil in this world can do nothing to those who love. Nothing. You see, the offended will lose their peace. But you and me, when we love someone despite where they are at, you're free. Quickest way to lose your peace, get offended. Bam. It's like all of hell has dropped upon you. Huh? Amen. Good word. Good word. Remember this. Replay. Love someone because it sets you free. And Lord says, I'm going to give you a reward. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to truly, truly bless you. It says that your reward will be great. Your reward will be great. Let's say it. Your reward will be great. I believe in this life, peace. In the next life, also great rewards from God. Let's be different. Let's not take the bait. Enemy wants to bait us to be ugly as well. I think especially when it comes to family. I don't know, it's just so used to, we're so familiar with family. So when family say, well, hey, yay, yay, then you shoot back and you say them where they can get off or go off or do whatever. Let's put the word of God in our mouths and we will have peace. We will have peace. Okay, so God is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Let's be merciful. Let's forgive Eskom. Merciful to whoever, whichever did what. Galatians 6 verse 9. Just two more verses. And there's another key. So the one key is love. The other key is do good. Look at this. It says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is so powerful. Do not grow weary. Do not give up. I've seen so often, you try to do something good, it sort of backfires, doesn't work, and then we give up and we back off. I want to tell you, the Word of God says, do not grow weary. Be good to the unthankful and the evil, and keep being good to them, because it's just a matter of time. You cannot keep on resisting the love of Jesus Christ. It's not possible. When you taste His love, you want to surrender. I have beautiful stories this past few weeks of people that some of our members here thought would never turn to Jesus. They have given up, but they did turn to Jesus. Don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing what? Doing good. In due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So I really feel this is a word for some of us. Some of us have lost heart. Some of us have lost heart. You know, in the ministry, you see the good, the bad, and the very bad. And so every now and again, you want to lose heart. You want to give up. Bible says, Jesus says, do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. Let's say it. I will not lose heart. I will keep on doing good. Amen. Come on, let's do it. Don't grow weary, you will reap. And then it says, as we have opportunity. I heard wonderful testimonies also this past few weeks of people who heard of someone's challenges, got involved, and they just blew them away. Do good to someone. And not just because it's Christmas. Do good to someone. Make a point. Listen to someone's need. Do good. Step out. The power of a small bit of kindness to someone. It can flip their lives forever. They'll know you're different. They will know you're a child of God. Because it's so out of the ordinary. Do you know what is the spirit of Christmas? Not Christmas, but the season. It's a season of selfishness. It's all about me. I want to be happy. I want to be this. I want to. The spirit of Jesus is, I want to do good to someone. It's not about me. I want to love someone. I want to be kind to someone. Be kind to someone. And then a beautiful verse, John chapter 4, 31 to 34. Jesus and the disciples, just to give some background, they were hungry, thirsty. Jesus was sitting at the well. He asked water from this lady. The disciples went into this town. And then Jesus shared the gospel with this lady, a woman who's had five husbands and way off track. He shared with her about the true living waters, Jesus, basically himself, knowing God. She goes into the city. All the people out of the city come and they find the Messiah. The disciples come back and they're like, what's going on? What's going on? Jesus, aren't you hungry? We brought food. Jesus, are you hungry? Look at his response. It says here, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Huh? Where's the food? Kentucky. Was it Jesus? Are you eating Kentucky? What are you doing? Verse 33. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. This is so powerful. When you think doing good to others, or when you think, oh, it's so tiring. You're doing stuff for people. It's so tiring. When you're doing things for Jesus, it's not tiring. I've seen this a few times. We had a pastor summit, I think it was 2 years ago, and we had meetings, a whole week of meetings. I was dying. It was like admin upon admin upon admin. I don't like long meetings. Not very meeting fit. But then at some stage, I was like wanting to run away, and at some stage I said, now we're going to pray for all the new pastors and people that are being part of our church group. And so I'm thinking, I am so tired, I can't pray for anyone. And then Jesus, help me now, I can't do this. No, it wasn't that bad, but anyway, so I prayed for someone, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon me and I was energized. It's like the word of God came through me. Someone's life was powerfully impacted, but suddenly I became a channel for the power of God through my life. I was energized. I was full of joy. I felt like a new person within 20 minutes. You see, when you do the work of God, it feeds you on the inside. It is supernatural. It is absolutely supernatural. So do it this December. Do something good. Step out. Share with someone what Jesus is doing in your life. And see how God energizes you. Yo, ek is aan my happy space. It is so fulfilling. And Jesus said this, my food, that which I eat, heavenly manna, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In his will. Outside of his will, no peace. No peace for the wicked. In his will, peace. Those who are offended, no peace. Those who love and forgive and do good, peace. Peace. Last verse. John chapter 14, 27. And then we're going to have communion. Just to dedicate this next month to the Lord. Jesus speaking. New Living Translation. I am leaving you with a gift. Feels like Christmas. Thank you, Jesus. Our Christmas gift. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. I would give anything in this life to find peace. To get my peace back if I've lost it. Anything. I'll do anything. If you have tasted the peace of Jesus Christ, you will never ever want to look anywhere else for peace, because there's nothing like His peace. Jesus is saying, I'm giving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Cannot give. Let's say it. Say cannot. Okay, this is now light bulb moment. The peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. Don't be troubled or afraid. Don't look for it anywhere else. The peace I give is a gift that this world cannot give you. Let it settle upon your heart. Let it settle upon your heart. In Jesus, He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Shepherd of Peace. He leads us into peace. He brings rest to our souls. And then we can do good deeds. We can love people. We can celebrate. We can forgive. We are empowered. Okay. Peace. This is the ultimate Christmas gift. The ultimate Christmas gift is the peace of God.